Good morning, church. I'm excited to worship the risen Christ with our Friendship family today. We are in a series that's building the faith in the heart of our church. And today is the final week of this series. We've been discussing four qualities that God calls each of us to embrace as His church. And so let's review these qualities that we've been looking at these last few weeks. We have some icons we've been using. The first icon is the envelope. And the envelope reminds us that I'm invited. Everyone say, I'm invited. You are invited into the family of God. We know that Jesus invites the people that others reject. The second icon is the diamond. And the diamond reminds us that I'm invaluable. The truth is that each one of you has a spiritual gift. And your gift is important. Everyone matters at Friendship. I've been saying for 20 years, there are no big jobs, there are no little jobs. It's all important when you do it for the Lord and for the right reason. And then the third icon is the magnet. And the magnet reminds us that I'm influential. Influential for the glory of God. We talked last week about the truth that God has created you to be salt of the earth. He has created you to be His light in this dark and broken world. My prayer for you this week has been that God would help increase your influence in the sphere of influence, the people around you, that God would use you. And I hope as you reached out this week and did some sort of a random act of kindness, I hope that you understand as you do that, that you're increasing the influence you have on those around you as you're leading them closer to Christ. I'm also praying for the influence of Friendship, for our ministry within our community, that our influence would increase as well. And then the final icon represents the truth, I'm invested. Everyone say, I'm invested. Today we're going to lean into God's Word and talk about how every single one of us need to be invested in the work of God. Now, some of you might say, you know, I'm not really invested yet at Friendship, and it's good to be honest, but I want you to realize that although you may not be heavily invested in God's church yet, the truth is that you are invested somewhere. Every single one of us, you're invested. You do believe in something. You are invested somewhere. You're passionate about something. For example, if you had season tickets to Rupp Arena to watch the UK Wildcats, you would be invested in the team, right? I mean, there could be a foot of snow on the ground, but you're going to find a way to get to Lexington because you're invested. You've spent the money. You've invested in tickets. You want to be there. You might buy a UK sweatshirt. You might paint your face blue and white. You're going to go all in because you're invested there. Friend, your heart always follows your investment. Let's suppose you're invited to attend a class on managing your money. You know, if you don't pay to attend the class, you may go, you may not go. Doesn't really matter, right? You haven't invested anything. But if you paid for the class, you're more likely to go. If you paid for the class, you're going to squeeze everything you can out of that class. Why? Because you're invested. Let's suppose you've got an old junker. You've got an old beat-up car. If someone said, is it okay if I eat in your car? If it's an old car, you might say, I don't care if you vomit in my car. I mean, it's good, right? It's old. It's a clunker. It's not that big of a deal. But if you've got a new car and somebody says, is it okay if I eat in your car? What are you going to say? Nah, probably not. In fact, you might say, I don't even want you taking any deep breaths in my new car because I like the new car smell. And the more deep breaths you take, the more you're going to consume the new car smell. I remember when our kids were small, I wanted to wrap them in plastic every time they got in the car. Didn't want them touching the glass. Don't touch the buttons. Leave everything alone. Why? Because I was invested there. The truth is that we're all invested in something. The problem is that many of us, unfortunately, we are investing in things that don't last. We're investing in things that don't matter. When you think about the words, the teachings of Jesus, He used a phrase again and again. He illustrates it in different ways, different times and different stories. But essentially, the Lord warns us not to invest in things that don't last. Instead, He suggests that we pour our resources into things that will impact eternity. And I want to show you one of those verses this morning. And then I want to share kind of a key thought that I think will help us as followers of Christ to become more invested in the work of God through His church, making a difference in this world. The scripture is Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. You're going to recognize it. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So Jesus instructs us, don't hoard, don't store up what we have. He warns us not to invest everything we have in places that don't last, in things that don't matter. But instead, Matthew 6, 20 and 21, Jesus said, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your what? There your heart will be also. So the key thought for today is that God has created us to pour, not to store. God has created us to pour out. He's created us to be a blessing to others instead of storing up only for ourselves. Jesus said it another time this way. Acts 20, verse 35, Luke records the words of Christ. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than it is to what? Than it is to receive. Church, you and I have been created to pour. I am created to pour, not to store. Say that with me. I am created to pour, not to store. Now, when I think of pouring my life into something, for me, I immediately think of the church. That's just the first place that my mind goes when I think of pouring into something. I want to invest my life. I want to give my time and my talents and my treasure in things that matter, in things that count. When I think about the best investments that I've made in life, without question, my best investments have been what I have given to the work of the Lord, to the local church. That's been the best investment that I've made. I believe the greatest adventure of life is to pour our lives into the work of God, to be invested in what God is doing in the church. For nothing else compares to the feeling of being invested and used by God. The good news is God is looking for people who will invest in His work. God is looking for people that He can use, but there is a qualification. In order to invest and engage in the Lord's work, you must be usable. Look with me in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Paul talks about this. Romans 6, 13. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. One of the translations I read this week said, give yourselves completely to God so that you can be a tool in His hand. Think about that. So that you can be tools in the hands of God to be used for His good purposes. I love that word picture that comes into my mind of just being a tool in God's hand, to be a hammer or a chisel or a pair of pliers or whatever God needs, that I would be a tool in His hand that He could use me for His purpose. The question is this morning, how can I be invested in the work that God is doing at Friendship? How can I be more involved? I want to share with you three simple steps. Once you've surrendered your life to God, you've got a personal relationship with Christ, let me show you what is required to invest in God's work. Three steps of preparation. The first one, step number one, to be invested in God's work is that I must purify my heart. That's the first step. God uses people with a pure heart. I didn't say He uses people with a perfect heart. God's not looking for a perfect person. If God used only perfect people, then nothing would ever get done because none of us are without sin. But God uses men and women. God uses boys and girls who have a pure heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Paul writes to his young friend, he says, if a man cleanses himself, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Paul says, if you keep yourself pure, your life is going to be clean. If you keep your heart pure, you're going to be ready for the master to use you for every good work. We know from reading the scriptures, God uses all kinds of people. God uses people who are shy. He uses those who are outgoing. God uses smart people. He uses those of us who aren't so smart. God uses men, women, boys, girls. I can assure you, God wants to use you. God will use plain vessels. He will use ornate vessels. God uses big vessels. He uses small vessels. But church, there is one thing God will not use. He will not use a dirty vessel. He will not use a person whose heart is not right before Him. It is imperative that we have a clean heart. It's why Joshua, when he was preparing the people of Israel to enter into the promised land, you remember that for 40 years they've been waiting to enter the promised land, and the day before they're crossing over the Jordan River to enter the promised land, Joshua gives instruction. Joshua 3:5, listen to what he said. Consecrate yourselves. Purify yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Friend, God is doing, and I believe He will continue doing great things in His church at Friendship. I believe the lost will be saved. I believe the saved are going to grow. I think we're going to see God strengthen ministries. I believe when we come out of all of the COVID stuff, I think we're going to see God begin new ministries. But you and I must possess pure hearts so that we are usable to God. Now, some of you are ready to get involved. You want to get plugged into what God is doing at Friendship. You've been watching from the fringe and you're ready to get in the middle of it. Why? Because deep down you know that you want to be invested in something that matters. You want to plug in someplace where it counts. You want to be part of something that lasts. Listen to me, folks. The starting point for being invested, the starting point for being used by God, is a clean heart. It begins with a pure heart. How does that happen? Well, a pure heart happens as a result of confession of sin. It's how it takes place in my life. It's how it takes place in your life. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But God says, here's your part. Your part is to confess. He says, you confess your sin, and God is faithful and just. He will forgive our sin. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what does it mean to confess? Well, that word in the Greek is made up of two words. The first part means same. The second part means to speak. The word confess literally means to speak the same. To speak the same about my sin that God does. Confession means that I agree with Him. It means that I go to God and I say, God, you are right. What I did, I didn't make a mistake, God, it was sin. Confession is when we call sin what it is. It's when we admit our sin and we ask God for His forgiveness and for His strength so that we don't do it again. So here's what I would suggest this week. I want to encourage you to take some time and you just sit down with a notepad. You say, okay, God, show me what's between you and me. God, if there's sin in my life that I need to confess to you, God, bring it to my mind. What is piled up in my life? Church, I challenge you, pray that unsafe prayer. God, break my heart with that which is breaking your heart. And as God begins to recall sin, you just write it down on the notepad. And as you're writing it down, just confess to God. Say, God, I agree that this is sin. God, this is wrong. You write it down. Who have I hurt? That's guilt. Who has hurt me? That's resentment. What am I worrying about? A lack of faith. Who have I been jealous of? Church, just cleanse your life. That is the starting point. The idea is that you make this list, you confess those sins to God, and then you just write 1 John 1:9 over the top of your list. And you say, God, I admit my sin to you. God, these actions, these thoughts, they're wrong. God, I don't want them in my life anymore. And God promises that as we confess sin, that He will forgive and He will cleanse you. The second step, a little more difficult, but step number two to be invested in God's work is that I must simplify my life. I purify my heart, then I simplify my life so that I have more time to be invested in the things of God. You know, the Bible compares life to a marathon. The writer of Hebrews talks about that, chapter 12, verse 2. He said, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So Paul instructs us that we need to remove anything from our lives that would get in the way of us running the race that God has marked for us. Anything that would prevent us from fulfilling God's will for us, from being invested and used by God. Friend, as you run the race of life, you need to let go of anything that holds you back. One of the things I've learned is that if the devil cannot make you bad, what he does is he'll make you busy. He'll get you so busy that you don't have time for the important stuff. the enemy will have you so busy with good things that you're not going to have time for the best things. You're not going to have time to be alone with God in His Word. You're not going to have time to be alone with God in prayer. You're not going to be able to serve and invest in a ministry and to be a part in that way. So Paul instructs us that we need to simplify our lives. We need to get rid of the excess baggage. Friend, I remind you that you cannot do it all. But God doesn't intend for you to do it all. You just got to do what matters most. I've met many people who've said to me, Pastor, I want to be invested. I want to be used by God. But church, the truth is, it's never going to happen for them. God is never going to work in their life the way that they say they want. It's never going to happen. And the reason is they're just too busy. The problem is they've got their own plans. They've got their own ambitions. They don't have time for the things of God. Listen, if you're serious about being invested in the things of God, then you've got to say, Lord, I need to let go of some things. Show me what I need to let go of. God, what is holding me back? What is keeping me from running the race that you have for me? Friend, there are so many things that hold you back from God's plan. But let me give you this morning two common barriers. I think the first barrier is distractions. Distractions will hold you back from being invested and used by God. We see an example of it in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Jesus said this, he said, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, anyone who lets him or herself be distracted from the work that God plans for them, Jesus said, he or she is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus warns us, don't let yourself be distracted. What can distract you from your life mission? How about the expectation of others? Maybe you're trying to please everyone else instead of trying to please God. I know people that way. They're more concerned about what others think than they are concerned about what God thinks. And you've got to decide. You've got to make a decision. Am I going to please God with my life? Or am I going to please others? The expectations of others, the opinions of others, it can be a very real distraction. But there are other things that distract. Television can be a distraction. Media can be a distraction. Cell phones, a hobby, sports, a relationship. All of those things can be a distraction. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. They're all fine and good unless they distract you from the thing that is most important. And so if you want to be invested in God's work, you might have to let go of some of these distractions so that you can finish well the race of life. But let me tell you what the biggest barrier is for most people. I think the biggest barrier is the past. I think some people just refuse to let go of the past. They just seem to hang on to the past. Either guilt, things that we've done to others, maybe resentment, things that others have done to us. But because we won't let go of the guilt or the grudges or the grief, we end up stuck in the past. And listen, friend, you can't get on with the present, and you can't get on with God's future if you're holding on to the past. You've got to let it go. It's time that you stop rehearsing the past. It's time that you release past hurts, because distractions, they will keep you from being used by God. You know, you look like a safe bunch, and so I'm going to go out on a limb. I couldn't do this in the early service with our senior adults, but you guys look pretty safe. Most of you are not going to make a decision this week. Am I going to serve God or am I going to be a terrorist? Right? I mean, that's not the dilemma that is facing you. Some of our seniors, I don't know. But the choice I think most of you are going to make is this. Am I going to do something good or am I going to do what is best? I think that's the decision that you're going to make many times this week. Am I going to invest in something that's good or am I going to invest in something that is best? Friend, distractions are past. These barriers, they will keep you from being invested and used by God. So what do I need to do? I need to prepare my heart through confession. I need to simplify my life from distractions. And then step number three, to be invested in God's work, I must fortify my faith. I've got to strengthen my faith. You know, it's easy to get caught up in doing what everyone else wants you to do, and in the process, you miss out on what God wants you to do. And I'm going to make you a guarantee this morning. God's plan for your life is the best plan that you're ever going to find. Amen? God's plan for your life, it's even better than what you want for your life. Friend, if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you need to fortify. You need to strengthen your faith. You've got to grow in your walk with Him. You've got to get stronger. Your faith has to be strengthened. Paul talked about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He instructs us, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things. Why? Because it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. So Paul instructs us. We need to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And let me give you a few habits that will help fortify your faith. The first one is to study the Bible. Friend, you need to study God's Word personally because you can't depend on someone else's study to fortify your faith. You've got to dig into the Word yourself. You've got to learn to do it on your own, to feed yourself from the Scriptures. There is no substitute for your being in God's Word on a daily basis. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Listen to what it says. All Scripture is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. It is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. The Scripture straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing that God wants us to do. So I look at God's Word as being the get-ready manual for life. If you want to get ready to invest in the things of God, you've got to fortify your faith. You've got to get in the Word and strengthen your relationship with God. But there's a second suggestion to strengthening our faith, and that is, I would encourage you to write out your testimony. Take some time and develop your testimony. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have. And just as no one else can study God's Word for you, no one else can tell your story like you can tell your story. Isn't that true? I mean, nobody else can tell your story about how you came to faith in Christ like you can. Four parts to your testimony. You tell someone what your life was like before you came to Christ. You tell them how you recognized your need for Jesus, what you did to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And then fourthly, you tell them how your life is different with Christ in it. It's that simple. I would encourage you to write out your testimony this week. Maybe you want to type it out and email it to me. I always enjoy hearing how God's people came to know Him, how they came to faith in Him. So you just work on your testimony this week and send it in an email so that I can read and share with you in that way. One more suggestion to strengthen your faith, and that is to be faithful in a small group. Friend, if you're going to fortify your faith, you need to be faithful in Sunday school. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. I can't think of much that would fortify your faith like regular contact with other believers, people who are gathering together in community to pray together, to discuss the Scripture together. It's kind of like iron sharpening iron, right? That's what happens in our small groups. It's what happens in a Sunday school class. So I would encourage you, strengthen your faith by being faithful in a small group. I heard about a man who approached a pastor and told him he wanted to join the church, and the man said, I really don't have a lot of time to invest in the work of the church. He said, I'm very busy. You can't really call upon me to do any teaching. Don't expect me to serve in any way. Special projects, I don't have any time for that. My evenings are tied up. I can't work with students. And the minister thought about what this man had said, and he wisely responded. He said, well, I think you're at the wrong church. He said, I think the church that you're wanting to join is three blocks down on the right-hand side of the road. So the man left the church, and he followed the preacher's directions, and he came to an abandoned, boarded-up church building. Friend, if you're not interested in investing, if you're not interested in making an impact, can I just tell you that friendship probably isn't the place for you? I mean, if you're just looking for a place where you can sort of sit and soak and not really invest in the work of God, then this may not be the place for you. Because this is a place where together we're serving and we're watching and we're investing in the things of God. What I know is this, I've learned that when you take in and you don't give out, you become fat. When you give out and you don't take in, you become faint. Church, it's only when you give out and you take in that we become fit. And that's the goal, right? That we receive as we gather together, and then we give out and we invest and we serve as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God desires for us. Some of you are thinking, but Jason, God can never use me. I don't think God could use me in any way. Friend, the truth is you're wrong. God can use you. God wants your life to be a life of significance. He wants you to be actively involved. He wants you meeting the needs of others in the name of Christ. God doesn't want you living an idle life. God doesn't want you living an unproductive life. So I want to challenge you, which of these steps that we looked at this morning, which of these steps do you need to work on? Which ones do you need to focus on? Do you need to purify your heart? Do you need to get alone with God this week and just say, God, what's between me and you? What's the barrier? Ask God to reveal any sin in your life. And friend, as He does, you confess your sin to God. You experience His cleansing. Maybe you need to simplify your life. Maybe the truth is that there's some things that you need to let go of. You need to let go of even some good things so that you can invest in the things that are best. Work on eliminating the distractions, the things that are holding you down. Stop rehearsing your past so that you can move forward with God. How about fortifying your faith? Maybe you need to commit and just say, you know, I need to get in the Word more. Or I need to get in the Word, period. And just make it a priority that you're going to set an appointment with God, that you're going to open the Scriptures and you're going to read from His Word and let Him teach you. Maybe you need to write down your testimony so that when someone asks you about the hope that you have in Christ, that you'd be able to tell them, well, this is what my life was like before Christ. And this is how I recognized my need for Jesus. And this is how I was saved. This is how I made things right with God. And let me tell you the difference that Christ makes in my life every day. Maybe you need to get involved in a small group. I hope, I pray that you're ready to invest in God's work. There's a fellow by the name of Jeremy Bentham. He was the founder of London's University College. And when Jeremy died back in the 1800s, according to his instructions, his skeleton was reconstructed. They put a wax head on top of his skeleton. They dressed him in his best suit. And they put his skeleton in a glass case in a meeting room of the college's board of governors. For many years, the deceased Bentham, he attended every meeting of the board. And he was always described in the minutes as present, but not voting. Now, church, I'm afraid many times we are guilty of the same thing. We are guilty of being present, but we're not invested in the work of the Lord. Let me tell you, 31 years ago, I was sitting in a worship service much like this one, and I began feeling that God was calling me to surrender to ministry. And I wrestled with that. God, is this really what you want me to do? Am I hearing from you clearly that this is the path that you have for me? And church, I was scared. I was afraid to make that commitment. God, can you really use me in that capacity? And so what I did, I was in the sanctuary, and I just took and kind of made an X with my foot in the carpet. Just kind of drew a little X on the floor. And then I stepped on that spot, and I said, God, if this is what you want from me, I'm willing. I'm willing to surrender. I just want to invest. I want to do something that matters. I want to pour my life into something that will make a difference. Maybe this morning you want to draw a mark on the floor with your toe. Maybe you just want to stand on that line and show God that you're ready to surrender your life fully to Him, that you want to invest in His work. Maybe you've already done that. I'm not asking you to do it again unless you feel the need to recommit or renew your commitment to Christ. But friend, if you've never given yourself to God, then this is the place, and today is the day. Let me give you a couple points of application. First of all, surrender first to the Savior. Friend, the place to begin is to make sure that you are fully surrendered to the Savior, that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the place to begin. And if you don't know Christ, then you come in just a moment, and I'd love to answer your questions. I'd love to pray with you. If you're watching the live stream, you just type in the comments, "Today I put my trust in Jesus," and our staff, they will respond shortly. One of the ways that you can publicly demonstrate your faith in Jesus Christ is by following Him in believer's baptism. Maybe you know that you've got a relationship with Christ, but you've not followed Him in baptism. Then you come this morning and you make that commitment, and we'll get baptism set up. The second point of application is to choose to be a servant rather than a volunteer. I think there's a difference, because a volunteer chooses when and really even if he or she will serve. But a servant serves no matter what. A volunteer serves when it's convenient. A servant invests his or her time, their talents, their treasures, because of a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. As I've surveyed Scripture, I've discovered that we are called first to be servants and second to serve. I think serving flows naturally out of the heart of a servant. For there may be many decisions in your life that one of these days you look back upon and you regret. But friend, you will never regret your decision to surrender to the Savior or to invest in His church by serving others. Church, I pray that you see yourself today as God sees you. How does God see you? You are invited into the family of God. You are invaluable to God's work. You are influential. You are salt and light. And you are invested. Instead of storing up, you're ready to pour out, to invest in God's work as you meet the needs of others in the name of the one who gave it all for you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And Lord, we know that your plan is always better than ours. You do things that are exceeding abundantly beyond the things that we would ask or think or even imagine. So Father, thank you for wanting to use us, for the opportunity we have to invest in something that matters, something that lasts. God, I pray this morning as your people, Lord, that as you look down upon us, that you would see us usable. That, Father, we would have a heart that's pure. That our lives would be simplified so that you would be a priority. We'd be able to give you time to be used. And, Father, that we would work to strengthen our faith. That you would be able to use us any way that you see fit. God, I pray that if there are ways that you want to use us, ways that we could invest, Lord, just speak to us. Direct us. God, I lift up those this morning who do not know you as Lord and Savior. God, whether they're in this place or whether they're watching online, I pray that, Lord, your Spirit would just begin drawing their heart to you. Father, help them see their need for you. God, we pray that your Spirit would move unhinderedly today. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.